What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Landing on the Plains, all things Auburn football from someone who really lived it. Welcome back, everyone. This is Landing on the Plains, and I am Chandler Wooten, former linebacker, team captain, and NFL vet. And today we got another good one. And joining me today, my good friend Kyle. Kyle, welcome on.
And I'm none of those things. I'm not a football vet, former anything. So yeah, I'm just happy to be here.
Oh, no, you got the credentials, man. Yeah, now we appreciate you coming on and joining us today, man. And so we're not going to waste any time and hop straight into it. National media member Josh Pate, obviously, just recently named Auburn as the SEC dark horse. Was ended up on social media, was scrolling on X, and came across the video. And obviously you talked about it this morning as well on your show. Just kind of give me your thoughts from a fan perspective. And as someone who's kind of tapped in, what do you think about Auburn being SEC's dark horse? And then kind of just elaborate on why Auburn is successful when they are in that kind of underdog role.
Man, that's a great question. And it is so true. You know, it feels like, gosh, I can go back and think, what, 2013, no expectations. Maybe even you could go to 2010, no expectations. You correct me if I'm wrong, but 2017, I know people were excited about when Jarrett Stidham came in, but, like, I don't think they ever expected Auburn to play for the SEC championship. It's like Auburn psychs themselves out. That's just from a fan, from a fan side of things. It's like we all get hype, and maybe even the team kind of feeds off of that. And then I don't know if the pressure gets too high or what, because Auburn has spurts of success, but it's weird that they can't or haven't seemed to be able to find the ability to build off of that and like repeat it the next year. So I like Auburn being in the underdog role because, again, there is a history of success. But I'm ready to start getting in that, like, that expectations of contender. But I want to ask you, man, from a player perspective, like, I know it's different from my side of the fence, but when you see stuff like that and when you guys see stuff like that, does it change the way you view a season, or does it change the way, like, you go into it as far as how you – I don't know. Not prepare, but like motivation, do you feed off of it? Is it as big a deal to you guys as it is to the fans?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think there's honestly multiple different layers to it, because even just from a decade ago when I was coming in as a freshman, just now, like even more so now in today's game, like everything is on social media.
Yeah.
And so every single player can see every single thing that everybody says. And no matter how much you try to run from it, like, you know, you have people, you know, hit your DMs or sending you private messages. You'll have family members sending you messages. You'll have friends from high school, players from high school. So it's like there's no running from it. And so everything that's on social media, like these guys are seeing it. And so I think it's just about how do you take that as a team? Like I know from my experience in 2017 and even the great year we had in 2019, like you were alluding to, we didn't necessarily have these major preseason expectations as far as like going to the SEC championship or being in contention for competing for a national championship or things like that. But I think as the season goes along and the hype starts to build and people start to get on board, like you could either feed into that or, you know, a lot of coaches, you know, tell you not to feed into the rat poison.
Yeah. That was a Saban thing, wasn't it? The rat poison.
Yeah, absolutely. Rat poison. And so I think it's just, I think every player handles it different. I think, you know, and it's even individual too. So some players can have that individual success and you'll see them start a year out great and kind of level off as the year goes along or start slow and then, you know, end up having a great season. And so I think just when it comes to like that social media aspect, that's one way to look at it. And then two, from a, like a player perspective, like a team perspective, like when you're in the spring and the summer workouts, like you look around at the locker room and you're in the meetings and, you know, you're looking at your position room, like, you know what you got, you know, like, you know, all right, we got a chance for real because we're loaded and we're loaded, you know, pretty much every position on the team. And so you kind of know going into the year, like what kind of squad we have. Are we going to be that team that, you know, has to play damn near perfect to, you know, get these wins, or do we have some leeway? Can we, you know, not play with our food, but afford maybe a couple mistakes here and there?
Yeah.
Like that. And so I think it's just about kind of what kind of team you have as well.
You just said something that was interesting to me. How soon do you know? Like, how soon in, whether it's spring or summer, and maybe it could be in either, but like, how soon do you know, okay, we got something here? Like, this, we're going to be tough.
Yeah, no, I think once you really get into spring, and obviously spring is a little, I'm not saying watered down, but it's the springtime. And so guys are still finding their footing, and, you know, some guys are still working their way into, you know, position battles and things like that. At Auburn, we had quite a few coaching changes.
Yeah.
You know, as well. And so sometimes you have to learn a new system and things like that. But like I said, when you look around, like, we're out there on defense and I'm looking around behind me and I see damn good player. I'm looking out there at corner and I see two NFL corners, and I'm looking in front of me and I can see Kobe Wooden, and I can see, you know, all these different guys. I can see Eku Leota and Derek Hall. And I'm looking next to me and I can see OP and I can see Zakobi McClain. Like, I know we have a damn good team, you know? So it's like, yeah, you know, early on. And then as the season goes along, and I think one thing people don't really realize is it's not necessarily just about who's on the roster, but it's more so about like the work that's being put in.
Yeah.
And so it's like, once you start going through that process and you start to see, you know, what kind of work ethic the team has, like what kind of team we're going to be, what kind of culture we have, like that's when you know if you have a chance. It's not always just about the talent.
All right, on the flip side, how do you know when you're like, okay, we're in trouble?
Yeah, and I think I just started to allude to it. Once you start to really get into that process, and it's no longer just about like, we have all these players, we have this talent. Now it's about our guys on time. Our guys, you know, bringing young guys along in the locker room. Our guys, you know, watching extra film and doing these extra things that make a team great. Our guys being leaders and not followers. And so I think once you really get into that process and either things are going the way they should or not going the way, you know, they're supposed to go, like, you know. And so I think there were a couple of years when I was at Auburn and, you know, we hit that summer. Like, this is the time that they're in right now is where it starts to really come to fruition, to come to light. Like, we're either going to be a damn good team or we're going to, you know, we might struggle.
Do you think, Chandler, do you think you can have one of those things and still struggle? Like, let me give you an example. Like, do you think you could have like really good team chemistry, really good, you know, work ethic and things like that, but like you're missing a guy at a certain spot that can like change the game? And I'm trying to think of a good example. It has felt like the last several years, the defense has been fantastic, like championship level defense, but I feel like the quarterback has kind of been where you've been missing the boat, at least going back until, you know, maybe after Bo got injured, you know, in 2021 or whenever that was. Can you have like the discipline? Can you have the good chemistry and everything? And then you can see maybe you're just missing a couple of guys.
Yeah, I think you can. And honestly, also to another layer is like, you could do everything right, have everything that you need. And the SEC is just so good, so deep. Yeah. You can lose 3-4 games just because the teams you're playing are so good. But I think what takes you over the top is that team chemistry, is that the relationships you have and things like you alluded to. And so I think it's important for guys to really like understand, like I was talking about earlier, it's not just about the talent. Like, it's about like building everything and like coming together, because like you alluded to, like once you really get into the trenches, once you really get into like the meat of the season, like all of the work that should have been done, it's too late to do it. And so I think there were some years when I was at Auburn, like, and this is another thing like that goes into it too. Like, once some things don't necessarily go your way, and maybe even early on, like some guys, like they kind of like turn the other way or like shut down in a way, if that makes sense. And what I mean by that is it becomes about them, and it becomes about, oh, maybe we're not having the team success that we envisioned. So now let me worry about myself and, I need to make it to the NFL or even nowadays, NIL money or things like that.
Yeah.
So I think it becomes about other things instead of keeping the eye on the main prize.
Man, that's insightful. And I can see that too from it, just looking at it through, if you're looking at it through that person's perspective, it's like, I got to make sure I get mine. You know what I mean? Like this team may not be going where it should be going to get us to the, you know, highest levels of success. So I may try to do the things that are going to make me stand out, and it kind of creates a snowball effect. Like it's like one thing leads to another, and then it just gets to where it's out of control. No, that's super interesting. Yeah.
And I think one thing too, though, is that's contagious too. Cause like yes. I said, if you're in the locker room and like everybody can hear everything pretty much in the locker room, and like word travels. And so if you have somebody who's supposed to be a leader, a guy we're depending on, and now he's in the locker room and he's talking about, you know, man, I forget this, or I don't feel like practicing, or coach tripping, or I'm just worried about going to the league. You know, you got these young guys in here listening to this. And so it's like, that's rubbing off on them. And so I think we had quite a good bit of that in some years where we weren't necessarily as successful as well.
Does every team, or is it maybe team to team, and it could be one individual or it could be a group of guys, do y'all like designate like an enforcer, like that guy that's like, okay, if you keep screwing around, so-and-so's, you're going to have to answer to so-and-so, and they're going to, you know, they're going to bring the heat, or they're going to make you pay for it because they're going to get you back in line. That could be a coach, it could be a player, or it could be a group of players. Who was that whenever you were playing, if there was one, and then who's somebody you could see on this current team potentially being that guy that's like, if you keep missing workouts, you got to go answer to him.
Oh yeah. I think naturally, like it depends on, you know, who the guy is necessarily. But there were definitely some guys, you know, especially when I come in, and it's not necessarily like, oh, a coach will appoint this guy, or this is what they said. It's just like, that's just how he carries himself. That's how he moves. And so guys just understand, like, he's not to be played with. So when he speaks, you listen. And so especially and that's why we were so good my freshman year, like 2017, like we had so many guys like that. Like,
right.
You just don't play around with them. And we had some coaches like that too. And so like, you weren't playing around with Coach G.
No,
you weren't playing around with T. Will. You weren't playing around with, you know, all these guys. And so I think it's like layers to it, like coaches, and then it goes down and like it trickles down to players. And so like, I think in college, especially like individual rooms, like holding individual rooms accountable is so important, because like you're talking about teams of 100 plus now, especially now with the new rules and how many scholarships guys can have. So you're talking about these big rosters. And so I think it's important to have like that guy in every single room. Like, who's your guy in that room to hold this room accountable? And then that'll trickle over to the rest of the room. And so like my freshman year, or, you know, when I was a young guy coming in, like we had phenomenal leaders in my linebacker room, like Trey Williams and Deshaun Davis. So you're talking about dudes who would keep people in line. And so it's like, they didn't really have to do too much checking because everybody just knew this is what it is. And this is how we get down. You know, you talk about like Trey Matthews, you talk about Carlton Davis, you talk about Derrick Brown, Marlon, Dontavius Russell, like, and this is just defensive guys. I haven't even got to offensive guys. And so when you talk about like guys just being those kind of enforcers, those were those kind of dudes. And so when I look at this current team and how I could see that shaping out for this team, like obviously one person that stands out, you know, right away is Xavier Atkins, just because you're the leader of the defense. You know, you're coming off a phenomenal year, high expectations, and like we need you to be the alpha male. And I think he is, and I think he will be. And so I think just right off the bat, him defensively is the answer for me. And then offensively, like I could see Byron Brown being that kind of guy. Yeah. Like he's an alpha male. He's that kind of dude. You're the quarterback as well. Like, and like, I just believe he's going to be a big time playmaker. And so it doesn't always have to come from a big time playmaker, because there were some years at Auburn when I was a leader and, you know, I was hardly playing.
Right.
So it doesn't always have to correlate that way. But when you have two guys who are leading the pack like that, making big plays, and it's coming from them and starting at the top like that, it's contagious and it trickles down to the rest of the team.
I want to ask you if you think this is as unique and special about Xavier as I do, but you see it all the time when a guy in the NFL or the NBA or whoever, they get that big contract. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like I made it kind of thing. And do I have the motivation to kind of keep going? And I will say the most impressive thing, at least from what I've seen from Xavier Atkins, is he hasn't changed a bit. Like, if anything, his intensity's ramped up. Am I crazy when I say that, or am I just kind of making that up in my head, or do you see the same thing out of him that I do?
Oh, no, absolutely. You're spot on with that, just because. And what that says to me is he's made of the right stuff.
Yes.
Like, he's got the right DNA. Like, and you're talking about a dude who really loves football, because especially nowadays with this NIL and all this money, like, you know, a lot of guys don't have the same motivation to, you know, like, there was a point in time where guys had to make it to the NFL in order to get paid. Like, this is the only way my family is going to eat. So now when you have guys making that kind of money in college, naturally it's human nature. Like, that motivation goes down. And so when I'm talking about Xavier Atkins and I'm looking at what he did last year, all the hype, and you're talking about he came into this year even more locked in, to me, that just says he's made it the right stuff. And then it indicates to me, like, he's not satisfied. And he's pretty pissed off with how the season went last year. And so, like, that to me also says, like, you're the alpha guy. And so guys will follow you. And so I think that's going, like I said, be contagious for everyone around him to follow that lead.
Is it more impactful to have a guy that's one of those voices and be the quarterback? Like, is that sometimes more impactful than just like a linebacker or a wide receiver or running back being the linebacker? Is the quarterback being the guy? Like, I don't know what Jarrett Stidham was like when he was there in 2017, but is having a guy like that, like a Byron Brown? Because I just think, to me, Byron Brown's going to be the sheriff. You know what I mean? Like, to me, guys just seem to gravitate to him. Is it more impactful when that dude is the quarterback?
Oh, absolutely. And I think when you just snatch it, like, the game of football, when your quarterback is that guy for your team, like, the rest of the team just falls in line. And I think that's, like, you can go back to, you know, the old days of football. And then we can even just talk about Auburn. Like, when Cam came to Auburn, and Cam came with that kind of swag, that kind of moxie, that kind of leadership, like, it was contagious. And, like, everyone fed off of that. And then when I look at when Jarrett came in, that was my freshman year. And so I'm coming in and, you know, obviously that quarterback position had been a question mark leading up to that year, you know, with, you know, playing quite a few guys the season prior. And so we're heading to that year and it's everybody is talented around Jarrett. And so when Jarrett came in, like, I just remember him coming in and really seizing that opportunity, seizing that moment and, like, really taking over that team. And that's ended up how, you know, we ended up going on that kind of run. And then I think also about, like, a guy like Bo. Like, he came in his freshman year and we're a win-ready team. Like, we're ready to win right now with the team that we had in 2019. And so you're bringing this freshman in and he's, you know, highly ranked and highly talked about and all these kind of things. And I know he got a lot of criticism. And I've always said, like, I was happy that he was my quarterback because – like, that's the kind of dude who would go to war. Like,
go to war, yeah.
Yes. So it's like when guys go out there and, like, put everything on the line, like, and that's not always to say, like, everything's going to work out in your favor. But, like, when somebody's going out there, like, willing to put their body on the line, their heart and their soul on, like, that's all you can really ask for. Like, I knew every single time he went out there, he was going to give every single thing he had. And so I knew every single time I ran out there on defense, I was going to do the same for him. And so, like, guys feed off of that for sure.
That's just fantastic insight, man.
Yeah, no doubt. And so I think, I'm excited to see, like, how Byron Brown, like, takes over this team, like, especially, like, offensively, because he's like we said, he's that alpha male, and I'm really anticipating a tremendous season from him as well. So, I think the quarterback
can't be bad, right?
No, he can't be bad. No. And. And like, a lot of people, you know, say, like, oh, he's coming from USF and how is it going to translate, you know? And Like, one thing people are not mentioning is he's coming, like, into the same system he was playing in.
Yeah, dude. The continuity. So it's
like he had to come here and learn something entirely new. Like, he's running the same stuff just in a different jersey. And so, like, he's a veteran in this system. Like, he knows it like the back of his hand. And so I think once we really open up that playbook and we get into the season, I don't see, you know, too much of a drop-off in his production, if any, from what he did at USF last year.
Exactly. Like, if he goes to Miami or somewhere else.
They're talking about him crazy.
They're talking about him like crazy, but also, like, it would probably take him a couple of games. You know what I mean? Like, Golish says, we got all our checks in already and everything installed in spring. Like, we're ready to go right now. Mm-hmm. That's unheard of. If this kid can't be good, like, if he's not good, then Auburn has done something that they have to go, like, sacrifice animals or something like that to, like, let the stars realign. Like, it's just something's off.
Right.
That's got to get fixed. That's beyond football.
If this isn't a success, man, I don't really have any answers for you at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, but I definitely appreciate you coming on today for sure.
Thanks, man.
It's been awesome. Great talking to you as always. If you like this episode, make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And as always, War Eagle.